Catch the Randy Rhoads Show live weekday afternoons right here on Progressive Voices Channel from 4 to 6 Eastern.
Hello, Congressman Engel from New York. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I do have a question for you that I don't know the answer to at all. And that is, Chuck Schumer said yesterday that Mitch McConnell's got this $200 billion slush fund and he's going to make backroom deals. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know. As you know, I'm representing in the House. I don't.
Well, what does it mean when you hear when Boehner was Speaker of the House and Boehner was handing out checks from the tobacco companies? You know, is that what he's talking about? I mean, how does that work? Who comes to your office?
I
what does
know.
It look like?
I don't know the context. I don't. This is the first I'm hearing of Senator Schumer's remarks, so I'm not. I don't want to get it out of context because I don't know the context in which it was. I would guess, if I had to guess, that it would be the usual political bantering, political mudslinging.
Well, what does a deal look like? You know, if the majority leader or the House Speaker, if he's trying to wrangle people, what typically is offered?
Well, in the old days, members of Congress had what was called earmarks, and you could get money in spending bills for projects in your district. The earmarks were eliminated when when John Boehner was Speaker.
Right.
And that's no longer the case.
So how does it go now?
Well, it doesn't really go. You really just cannot get extra things in. Now, if there's an omnibus bill, and your project happens to be in there, I guess you could work it that way, like around the side. But it's not typically done. I haven't done it since the earmarks were eliminated, and I was opposed to eliminating them because I think a member of Congress knows better what is in his or her district that needs help rather than some bureaucrat in Washington that would make a decision instead of a member of Congress that represents the district.
Why are the Republican governors not happy that they're going to be in charge of Medicaid when they're closest to the people who get the Medicaid in the state? I mean,
look, I don't know. There is a stream that runs through many of the Republicans where they just don't want the government to have any major programs. They don't want they would call big government. I reject that, what they think about this. I don't want big government, but I don't want no government. I don't want too small government. I want just enough government. And the truth of the matter is, the only way you could get health care covering virtually all the people is through some sort of government plan. I was trying to say before when pre-existing conditions prevents the insurance companies from playing their games. But when we read the Trump Care bill, we see that Americans that have pre-existing conditions might not get help this time with the Trump version, because it allows insurance companies to avoid covering services that people need. So you could, there's two ways of not getting them coverage. First of all, if they just don't give it, and second of all, where they pretend they give it, but then they say, the service you need is not a part of what we give. So there's all kinds of ways of doing it. And when you look at this bill, it's really a tax bill. It's really a bill that transfers so much money from the middle class to the wealthy, tax breaks for the wealthy. That's the real type of bill that this is. So there's less money that they put into health care that they use for health care. They use it to give people who are billionaires more money, and that's something that we really can't stand. And the thought of 22 million Americans losing coverage, I think is just absolutely outrageous. And
it's a joke. I mean, if you're going to have more losers than winners, why would you write legislation? it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's another losing part of the legislation. If you're between the ages of 50 and 64, you pay five times as much as younger people.
Yeah, I know, because I am. And not only is that, I mean, I'm a cancer survivor, too. So, and if it wasn't for Obamacare, I wouldn't have made it. There's just no way. And I look at the Harvard Medical Studies. I look at the Oncology Review. Oncology alone, 18,000 people die who don't have health insurance that don't need to die. In total, from all illnesses, people without health insurance, 45,000 of them die because they don't have access to health insurance. It makes no sense. Everybody knows, including me, you get things early. It's not like it used to be. You live. You just do. So it makes no sense that we would want people diagnosed later, and then their care in the end stages is so much more expensive than a lumpectomy and a round of radiation. Why would anybody choose anything else? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I don't get it either. But they, you know, they do a good job in masquerading what the bill really does, and that's why you have people.
Well, I think I just want you guys up there to know that for my part, people understand this is a tax bill. They get it. They understand that it's a transfer of wealth. They understand that these are the last big tranches of money: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. They get that, and they also get that they're taking the money out of Medicaid to give it to the top 1%, which is why I said, you know, you get 12 to 17% approving of this, which I think is impressive. For all things Randy, go to randyrhodes.com. But meet me here for the live show, 4 o'clock Eastern.